as you heard, I had a hernia repaired 2 days ago, but I had double booked myself the last time I was supposed to come here, so I felt so guilty. I would have probably taken an ambulance to get here today if I had to, because Lutherans, you know, say we believe in grace, but we get guilty as all get out a lot of times. The other thing is that as a Lutheran, we have a liturgical setting usually, and I'm all over the country preaching, and so I always check the mic. And one day I was in one church and I said, there seems to be something wrong with this mic. And the whole congregation responded, and also with you. I enjoyed the comments about the woman and the glass of water. That was a good story. And I think that the one that I heard about this was probably even more effective. The pastor started the service by saying, but my other desire that I always felt was I loved to be in front of an audience. Even as a child, I loved that. And so, I know that's true because I remember when Christmas concert came, I always wanted the biggest part. And I don't think that was an ego thing. I just loved being up in front of an audience. And then one Christmas, I had this great part. And I got chicken pox on Christmas Eve. And then I knew that desire was real. Because if it wasn't real, I would have said, oh, thank goodness, I don't have to give the part. But I was so sad. And I'm sure the Guernsey cows were sad because I had practiced this over and over down in the barn so many times. But I got my electric train that year. So that took some of the pain away from having the chicken pox at that time. I always have enjoyed watching good orators and things like that. So when I went to college, I went to a little Lutheran college in Iowa where I grew up, and I studied Koine Greek, which is the language of the New Testament that it's been written in. Koine Greek would be similar to a sort of street language as opposed to classical language. So it was not the Greek of Homer and Aristotle and those. It was the kind of Greek you would talk about or talk with on the streets. And so that was putting me on the move to become a pastor. But this drama thing kept coming back to me always. And so I majored in Koine Greek, which really flabbergasted a lot of people, because I remember one person saying to me once, a neighbor said, what are you studying? And I said, Koine Greek. And he says, what are you gonna do, move to Chicago and open a fruit stand? That was his connection to what it would be like. But anyway, and my minor then was speech arts and drama and things like that. And so I was involved in musical productions and a lot of this. And then one day I decided I didn't want to be a pastor anymore. But your desires never stop. You may want to stop them. But that day I decided I don't want to be a pastor. But it must have been God's plan that I didn't just decide that without talking to somebody. So I went to talk to our college chaplain at that time, and I told him my plan. I said, I'm not going to go ahead, because after college would be seminary, and I just wanted to be an actor. And he looked at me, and I'll never forget it, because he looked right at me and he said, the pulpit is but a small stage. And I've never forgotten it. The pulpit is but a small stage. So that led me on to my life. The other thing that I really liked, I don't think it's a desire, but I love words. Maybe that was because of my studies of Koine Greek. So any new word fascinates me. I had a high school teacher who taught us about words. He said, you should find a new word every day, learn how to spell it, how to pronounce it, and what it means, and use it 3 times in a sentence, and it will be yours forever. And I thought, I wrote a poem about this, that it would be like having a horse. You have to learn to train the horse and to use the horse, and then it's your horse. And so words are the same way. So here I am, a farm kid in Iowa, and I graduated from Wartburg College with a BA in Koine Greek. I can still read Greek. but I decided to do this in English. Now, my mom, bless her soul, she loved me a lot, but I was kind of a bad kid in one way. I loved words and I loved to talk, and so I loved to debate anybody. You'd say good morning to me, I would challenge you, because that's the way it was. One day, my beloved mother said, "You are so obstinate, you're obnoxious." And then I added the third little O word, obstreperous, which means talkative. So that was me, I guess. Anyway, it was time to go to seminary. There were three seminaries that Wartburg College graduates always went to. One was in Dubuque, Iowa, 50 miles from our farm. One was in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and one was in Columbus, Ohio. So can you guess where everyone expected I would go to seminary? Dubuque, Iowa. There was a poster in our church that had all of these seminaries there listed. And then at the bottom, in smaller print, it said, "Also in Canada, Lutheran Theological Seminary, Saskatoon, Saskatchewan." I loved words. I had never seen words like this before. Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. I didn't know how to pronounce it. I was the typical U.S. kid. I didn't even know there was a Canada, basically. Except it was cold and it was icy. I wasn't sure Jesus even knew where Saskatchewan was. But so I said, "I'm thinking of going to Saskatoon, to seminary." "Well, what do you expect?" The people would say, "You're what?" Remember what my mom called me? And what I like to do? So if someone said, "You're what? Are you crazy?" I just said, "That's where I'm going." And the more anyone tried to talk me out of it, the more determined I was to go. My dear wife, Marlis, just arrived. I graduated from college in June 2nd. We got married in June 4th. And she was willing to come to Saskatoon, Saskatchewan with me. But it was close that we might not, almost didn't make it. Because she was doing nurse's training and she wasn't going to be done until October. And so I drove all those 1,800 kilometers by myself in a 56 Blue Ford pulling a 4x6 U-Haul trailer to this new place that I had never seen before. She came on Thanksgiving weekend. We also found out Canadians have Thanksgiving at a different time of the year. Who would ever thought that? Because the U.S. determines all that stuff, don't they? But anyway, that was the greatest Thanksgiving I've ever had. So I got my MDiv from LTS in Saskatoon. I got a parish in Dauphin, Manitoba. Little mission church, Dauphin, Manitoba. Now remember what my chaplain said? "The pulpit is but a small stage." Now I was a pastor, and I had a pulpit, and I could make it into a stage. So we had a conference that we hosted at our little church. All of the Manitoba people came, and the president of our church came. And I wrote a play called Paper Ways. And Paper Ways was sort of arguing the point that you can't get to heaven on your roller skates. You have to trust in the grace of God. So I made a paper rope, a paper stepladder, and a paper set of paper wings. And myself and two of my parishioners, we acted out this play. And of course, all of the paper ways failed. You had to go to God for salvation, not your own. Well, right after it, the president, who was a big, tall German man, kind of backed me against the wall, and he said, "There is no place in the church for drama." And I'm 25 years old, and I'm an immigrant, and I wanted to say, but I didn't have the nerve, I wanted to say, "It seems to me that dying on the cross and rising again is pretty dramatic." But I didn't say it. Anyway, that's what happened in that place. Then we went to Terrace, British Columbia, where I was also a parish pastor in a little mission church. I don't know how many of you have been to Terrace, British Columbia in the summertime, but it rains all the time. So when would VBS be scheduled? The 1 week when it wasn't raining. It always happened that way. And so nobody wanted to come to VBS. We couldn't get teachers to come to VBS. And so the other thing that God has given to me, I don't think often. I just say things. So I said to my counsel, you know, this VBS stuff is just not working. Why don't we buy 5 half hours of television time and we'll do a TV show on the air? The council said, good idea. And they said, go to the TV station and check it out. So I went to the TV station and proposed my idea. And they said, great idea. But, you always have that little but so often in life. I call it the holy conjunction. Anyway, they said, we schedule things on a 13-week basis. We will be happy if you will do 13 half-hour television programs. And I thought, well, that's more than five, but maybe it'll work. So I became Fisherman Fred, and I lived in a little wooden cabin, log cabin, was made out of cardboard in the state studio. Well, now before you think I'm a TV star, there was only one station in Terrace. So if you were watching TV at the time Fisherman Fred was on, you were watching me because there were no other choices. Well, we got 40,000 viewers like that because it was in Prince George up into Alaska and down the BC coast. The CRTC, God works in strange ways. The CRTC says you local people have to have more local programming. I was a godsend to them, and so we did it. After the 13 weeks, they said, we need you to do 26 more weeks. We're getting good viewers, and it'll make the CRTC happy. And they said, and you don't have to buy the time, but don't tell the Baptists. Because they'll want equal time. And he wasn't just picking on the Baptists, but all the other churches might have wanted to do it. So we did it, and our viewing went up to like 80,000. Summer came, and then they came and said, we need 39 more weeks. So I did 39 more weeks. We had a big Sunday school, because all I had to do was invite a couple of kids to be on air with me 1 week, and the next Sunday was full of kids in the church. This was taped. I learned a whole lot about self-forgiveness. Because if you think it's hard to listen to yourself on a tape recorder, watch yourself on television. It is not always a happy scene. So, 2 years, 39 weeks and 39 weeks, we did a half-hour television show. You know David and Goliath? Do you remember that? We used that as a filler. So that was sort of the gospel message that we brought through. That summer, after that one was over, they said, we need more local programming, so here's our idea. We want you to do a daily half-hour live show. I said, I'm a full-time pastor. They said, don't you get noon hours off? And I said, well, yeah. They said, well, it's scheduled from 12 to 12:30. I said, I can't do this. Well, they said, we hired a young man, and he said he'll help you. So now I became Deckhand Dave, and we sailed a boat to everywhere. It was a boat of imagination. Well, this kid said, I can't do this. This is too hard. So he quit. So here I am with all of this time. And I went to the church and said, I don't think I should be doing this because the station had offered to pay me the pricely sum of $10 a program, which was probably not bad in those days. I don't know how much it was at that time. But the church council said, well, you have your noon hours. You can do what you want. But if it starts affecting you or your health or your ministry, we will tell you. And that's how I've always operated with congregations. I work for you and with you. I am not your boss. And so that's what we did. Did 2 years of that program. So for 39 weeks, 5 times 39, is you figure it out. We did a lot of television. It was when the Vision program started, and we won an award, actually, by being one of the local Christian programs. Well, now I learned more about forgiveness, because if it's live television, and you do something wrong, everybody in town knows it. And it was pain to go to the co-op store. Because some little kid would always say, so I'd check my fly to see if it was open. But it was still fun. And I will say that this is where I really, truly learned what forgiveness is all about. Because it's to forgive yourself, it's have your brothers and sisters forgive you, and it's to know then that God loves you just the way you are. Sometimes people say to me, do you have any of those shows that we could see? And it was like building a sandcastle. Because this was a cheapskate little television station. We didn't tape anything. We just did it and it went away. A couple of things that happened that you'd appreciate knowing why I needed forgiveness. I did get a helper. His name was Roberto. He was a Philippine immigrant, but more of a running away from some government problems. So he worked with me. He was about this tall. He had 7 boys, but he looked like he was 14 years old. So we would meet on Monday and say, Roberto, what are we going to talk about this week? We just talked. We didn't script anything. And we decided to talk about ethnic food. And so the day we did Filipino food, he brought in a coconut. And I said, how do you open a coconut? This is how we did it. He said, well, you take a hammer. Nothing happened. And he said, sometimes you got to hit it really hard. Nothing happened. So I said, Roberto, sometimes you must really have to hit it hard. Oh yeah, you do. Boom! He broke the coconut into coconut milk all over the studio, all over me. The camera was going like this because he was laughing so hard, and I got the giggles. And of course, what does the cameraman do then? Close up, 17 inches of my face, giggling. I was pinching myself. I never stopped. I giggled for 27 minutes on live television. The council was always very, very, they all watched it because at noon, everybody watched that one TV station. And one day I came in and on that same week, boy, 2 bad ones in 1 week, I did barbecuing, Canadian barbecue. So I got an apron and big mitts and I had a chef's hat. And I did the whole thing, you know, on live TV. And then the next Sunday morning, our church president took my hand and says, that was a great show the other day, but maybe you should check your chef's hat. So I went home and got out my chef's hat, and there were silhouettes of naked women running around the edge of the hat. Thank goodness they were silhouettes only. Okay. After that, oh, by the way, that's where the puppets were born. You heard about my grandson being a puppet. We're going to close this one today. It must be about time to quit, huh?
Oh, we got 5 minutes.
5 minutes? Okay. From there, I went to LCBI, where I was the chaplain at the high school. And the pulpit, again, was a bigger stage because you've got 120 kids that have to be in church 5 days a week, and they don't really want to be there. So I just tried to be as creative as I could. Then I went to Luther as the chaplain there, and again we had worship, and again it was the pulpit, it was a small stage, and so I decided that sometimes sermons don't always work because they've already been listening to lectures. So I started writing what I call dramatic readings for the people of God, and these were like dialogue sermons, and I would sometimes pass them out, like if you were my congregation, somebody here would have a thing to say, and someone would here would have a thing to say. We did 3 volumes of those, and these are the last 3 volumes that we have, so they're all gone. But that was exciting, and it made the pulpit a larger stage. The other thing that I really like is poetry. And so I've written 3 poetry books, and I brought 30 of these along to give to you today. And please take them, because the doctor says I had a hernia repair. I can't lift anything over 10 pounds. And I think the bag weighs about 20, because that's why Larry Fry brought them down here for me. So I will pass these out when I'm finished here. And then, just to close it off, you got to meet my friend Ricky. Well, what do you think?
Oh, this is cool.
Yeah.
Nice folks.
They're really nice folks.
Yeah, I can tell. they're still here, and you're still talking.
Yeah, that means they're nice folks, right?
Yeah.
So when you think about God's, about our desires, and God giving us our desires, and bringing us joy, has anything come to mind to you?
Oh, yeah. One word.
One word?
Yeah.
What's that word?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, I love that word.
I thought you would.
I can say it over and over and over and over again. I can say it really high. Hallelujah. I can say it really low.
Hallelujah.
I can say it really fast. Hallelujah. I can really say it really slow. Hallelujah. And I can sing it too.
You can?
Yeah. Would you like to hear?
Okay, I guess so.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It never ends.
It never ends.
No, you sing it over and over and over. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
Ricky.
Hallelujah.
Ricky. I'm sorry. He's not behaving. Oh. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
He just likes the song. In conclusion, what I've learned, the pulpit truly is but a small stage, and we should seek to make God's love alive. For God's drama brings life and hope and joy that fills our deepest desires. So there's only one more thing to say, and you can all say it with Ricky. Hallelujah. Thank you. I hope you enjoyed hearing some of my story.